Welcome to episode 18 of Autograph Weekly.
You're now tuned into the most entertaining, informative, and downright kick-ass autograph show that has ever existed. Here's Zane Savage and Double S with Autograph Weekly.
What's going on, autograph collectors? I'm Stacey Schaefer.
And I'm Zane Savage, and you're listening to Autograph Weekly, where we will feed your autograph addiction every week. Guys, if you didn't know, a massive tornado tore through my hometown this week. I am okay. My property is not damaged at all. I was on the other side of town, but it is pretty bad time around here. But I wanted you guys to know that I am okay, and I'm not going to let that ruin the show. This is kind of my escape, my place where I can go and have fun and talk about, you know, the hobby I love. So with that being said, there is a keyword you need to listen for in this show. We're going to tell you what the keyword is. When you hear that, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/autographweekly. Post that keyword on our wall, and you're automatically entered to win the prize. And we'll tell you what the prize is later on in the show. Okay, let's get pumped up here. Stacy, what'd you get in the Mojo mailbox?
Actually, another pretty solid week overall. TTM-wise wasn't the greatest again, but actually had some purchases and some stuff off Autograph World that made it a pretty decent week overall. The quick update for Countdown to 1,000, it's at 681 now, so under the 700 mark, so very good start only 2 months into the year, so I should be able to hit that 1,000 mark. Shouldn't be too big of an issue, hopefully. All right, now to my TTMs this week. Start with Got In. These are a couple names that there's some issues around whether or not these are secretarials or legit. But Got In, Bradley Cooper signed two photos for me. Also got Robert Redford, who signed one photo for me. Also got in Raymond J. Barry, who plays Arlo Givens on the TV show Justified. He signed two photos for me. And the last three are all private address success TTMs from the Savage List. Got in Nick Cerchi, who plays Chief Deputy Art Mullen on Justified as well. Got Barry Weiss from Storage Wars in, and Clayton Morris. So like I said, those three were all awesome successes from the Savage List, so I was very happy to get those in. Some of the purchases I made this week, got in a couple of 27x40 posters that are real nice. Got an Empire Records movie poster signed by Renee Zellweger and Ethan Embry. Very happy with that. Empire is probably my second favorite all-time movie, so I was very happy to get that in. Also got in a Sleepy Hollow poster that is signed by Tim Burton, Christina Ricci, and Johnny Depp. So was happy with that. Also got in a couple of DVD covers signed. The first one was a Starship Troopers, actually signed by Neil Patrick Harris, and a Mission Impossible 3 signed by J.J. Abrams. And got in today, actually, a Gerald Ford matte piece, which is pretty awesome. Very happy with that. So I think I paid $32 shit for that. So I was very happy with that. And to finish it off here real quick, got some Autograph World stuff in today. Go over the names real quick. David Duchovny was in that group. Got Edgar Wright, who is the director of Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Scott Pilgrim. Got Justin Long and Julian McMahon on index cards from them. Got Josh Pace, who was Raphael in the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Chris Hardwick, Ira Glass, and got a couple people from the TV show The League, Katie Alliston and Mark Duplass. So that was my overall week. Like I said, pretty solid once again. Wasn't huge on the TTM front, but got those three private address successes. So that was the big bonus for TTMs this week. So what about you, Zane?
Well, first off, if you want to sign up for the Savage List, go to autographweekly.com. Go up to the tab that says The Savage List and sign up there if you're interested. I had a pretty good mail week. TTM front was a little lacking on the bigger names, but the auctions that I got in, I've been wanting some of these for a long time. Let's get started. For TTMs, I got in Barbara Mandrell, Ron Say. Diane Sawyer was a big one. She sent me some 8x10s, but they got crumpled up in the mail. USPS strikes again, putting all their mail into a trash compactor, I think, before it gets to me. So that was depressing. It's three signed 8x10s, and they all are messed up pretty bad. Got Martin Sheen in. Robert Parrish, of course. I think he's in the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame Boston Celtics player. Jim Hart. He actually went to Southern Illinois University, which is about 40 minutes from here. So that was a cool success. Vincent Pasteur, who, of course, played Big Pussy on Sopranos. Tina Wesson, and a lot of people don't know who she is probably. She won Survivor 2, and that was the year I loved Survivor 2. I was addicted to Survivor 2. That was the one with Elizabeth Hasselbeck on it. She was Elizabeth something else. I forgot her last name back then. But that's where she basically got her break. She was smoking hot on that Survivor Island, I tell you that. I just didn't know she had shit for brains back then. But, and the last one I got in today was Jerry O'Connell, who I've been a fan of for a long time. Loved him in Tomcats, but my favorite work of his has to be Carpoolers, which was a horrible show. They got horrible ratings from a lot of people, but I loved it. It was like my guilty pleasure.
Come on, he was the fat kid in Stand By Me.
I've never seen Stand By Me. I have never seen that. I know. Flog me. I deserve it. I've never seen it. I need to. But he signed my Carpoolers picture, which is awesome because it's a cast photo, and I want to get signed by some more people. All right, moving on to auctions. Got in Arsenio Hall, which I've been wanting for a while. I actually got it for Stacy. I was going to pick it up, and actually I was going to send it to you. But you got an Arsenio before, so it's mine now, I guess. And got Max Greenfield, who plays in New Girl. If you have seen that show, he plays Schmidt, and it's a really funny character. Got the Outsiders. Is that Road Dogg and
that's really good. New Age Outlaws.
The Outsiders were somebody else, I guess. The New Age Outlaws, that's right. But I loved them when I was growing up. When they, you know, came through the stage, I mean, you got hyped up. So, oh, you didn't know? I mean, how can you not get hyped up for that? So that brought back a lot of memories from back when I watched wrestling as a kid. And the main auction that I got in today, or not today, but this week, was Christopher Walken. I've been wanting to Walken forever. Picked up a really cool piece. It's a signed playbill from 1966. He signed it, and three other actors signed it. So it's his old signature. It's like spelled out a little bit more than his newer signatures, but it is legit. I mean, it matches up perfectly, his handwriting and stuff. So very happy with that. Looking for a frame to put that in to display it. When it comes to books, got a lot of signed books in. Sophia Tucker, legendary old actress from back in the 20s. Cesar Millan, talks to animals. Oliver North, John Walsh, of course, America's Most Wanted, Ken Jennings, Jeopardy, Reggie White signed book. That was really cool. NFL Hall of Famer, passed away young. Ted Nugent signed book, legendary rock and roll star. Helen Thomas, Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife. You wouldn't believe how expensive her autograph is. It's up there in price, and I got one for a really good deal. So, Paul Bear Bryant, got another Bear Bryant in, and I'm trading it off for a Richard Nixon. So you may see that Nixon come in next week. We'll see if it gets here by then. But the last one is Howard Cosell, and man, oh man, I paid $10 for this Howard Cosell signed book, and it's got a page long inscription to a good friend, not a good friend of his, but somebody he worked with. So it's a really cool piece. Really happy with that purchase. I couldn't have asked for anything more. All right, let's move on to the badass book buy. Stacy, what's your pick?
All right, mine is the only book I got this week, so just it's in this category by default. It's actually one that I picked up today. It's a Larry King, My Remarkable Journey signed book I picked up at Half Price Books today for $9. It's got actually Larry's signature in it, and there's a couple other signatures in the book. Haven't been able to figure out quite who they are yet, so something I'll be working on, and I will let people know once I figure out who else.
And Stacy sent me the scan. Stacy sent me the scan, and we kind of agree. We think it's probably his wife, but we can't find an example of his wife's signature. But because it's about his life, right?
Yeah,
it's about his life, so I'm almost positive it's probably his wife. But you can't say that until you find an example of his wife's signature. So, my badass book buy kicks your badass book buy's ass. It's Ronald Reagan. Got a signed book by Ronald Reagan. It's not an actual book he wrote. It's actually a book written about kind of him and Sam Donaldson's relationship. It's called Hold On, Mr. President. But it is signed by Ronald Reagan. I'm not 100% sure on the authenticity yet. It's not certified or anything like that. And you always got to be skeptical on presidential autographs. So I'm leaning toward authentic, and all the people I've asked say it looks authentic. There are a couple things that are different, but Reagan has about a million different variations in the signature, so I'm not too worried about that. Kind of want to send it off to get certified, but it's going to cost a lot more. I paid $30 for the book shipped, which is an amazing deal, and I don't want to put $150 into certifying it. If I can definitely buy an authentic one that's certified already for under $150 anyway. So that's my badass book buy. Let's move on to Project Geek Week, where I cleaned house. But first, Stacey, what did you get?
Actually, I got two in again this week, so another decent Geek Week week. So I was very happy with both of these. The first one was Ernie Klein signed the one Geek Week card I signed. And then the awesome return was a address that we tested that's out there that not too many people have tested yet, but we actually, I think Zane got him back this week too, and that's George R.R. Martin. Real famous now for the Game of Thrones books, so I was very happy to get that Geek Week card signed. What did you get in?
Well, first, the new people listening to the podcast may not know what Project Geek Week is. It's about the Geek Week podcast, not our podcast, a podcast by Lynn Peralta, and he draws these amazing cards and interviews these people on his show every week, and hence Geek a Week. If you want to check that out, just type in Geek Week in Google and it should be the first thing to pop up. But it's a really cool podcast, really cool project, and what we do is take those cards and send them out to the people in the Geek a Week podcast to get signed. So that is the Geek a Week project, just so people know. I know we have some new listeners and didn't know if you guys knew what was going on. Project Geek Week for me got in Lynn Peralta, the creator of the set, who we've had on the show. I've been putting off sending it to him for a while, just to have the stuff laying to the side. So got him back, got in Ernie Klein like you did, got in George R.R. Martin, and that was a really awesome one. I actually found George R.R. Martin's private address, then I looked on Star Tiger, and like the address very at the bottom, like the first address ever posted for him was his private address. So I was like, crap. I could have had an awesome awesome private address for my list, but whatever. Everybody can go right off to George R.R. You just got to go to Star Tiger if you have a Star Tiger subscription. And the last one was Hank and John Green, the Vlog Brothers. They're awesome. John's actually a writer, and they both signed photos for me. And actually, John signed three book plates in addition to that. So that was a really cool response from them. That's four for me this week. And guys, if you wanted to keep up to date with the Geek Week project, hit the Geek Week tab at the top of our website at autographweekly.com, and you can see what the score is, me versus Stacy, and you can see scans of all the autographs that we got for the project, and they're really cool, really amazing pieces of artwork. So all right, let's move on to the web deal of the week. This is where we tell you some of the best autograph deals on the web coming straight from the celebrities, no third party included. My pick is going to be Alexa Vega, and she's most notable for being in Spy Kids. She's the girl, and she's an obviously grown up, and she's an actress now, but she charges $2.20 PayPal to her, and she'll send you a signed photo. I think it's a 4x6 or a 5x7, I can't remember. But that's on her website, alexa/vega.com. It's dash, not slash. So alexa-vega.com. Check that out, and $2.20 is not bad for a signed photo. And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to write a letter. Just PayPal the money, give them your address, who you want it personalized to, and they'll do the rest. So who's your pick, Stacey?
Mine is going to be none other than Steve Wozniak, and the reason I'm going to do this, basically there's been two or three of us in the community have gotten stuff back from Woz's people, kind of giving us the hint that he's not going to be signing too much for free anymore through the mail. We've gotten notes back, typed up notes saying where we can get his autograph. So that's what I'm going to do. The website is called, it's signedbywaz.com. And basically, this is a website where Waz has got all kinds of stuff up here for sale. Prices range anywhere. The normal stuff is usually $25 and up, but he does have monthly specials on here. And right now, he's got a couple of things that are under $20. The first one is they're both Dancing with the Stars related. The first one is a San Jose Mercury News newspaper that he signed, and that's actually only $10 at the moment. And there's also a 10x8 Waz and Karina dual signed photo he's selling for $17.50 on there. And this also can be done through PayPal. You just pay the amount plus the shipping. So you guys out there looking for Waz autographs, if you guys haven't got one yet, this is going to be your option. And like I said, the monthly stuff isn't too bad on here. I mean, the monthly specials, I mean, $10 for a signed newspaper isn't bad at all.
And, you know, he did sign for free via private address, but that's what happens whenever private addresses get used a lot. People start either closing down the mailbox or start charging. So, again, get in on these private addresses, whether it's my list or Mike's list. Get them while they're hot. That's the easiest way to get an autograph, because if you wait, there's no guarantee you're going to get an autograph back, you know. So, Waz is going to be a legend. He's the guy you'll learn about in textbooks 100 years from now. Steve Wozniak created basically the personal computer. So, a huge name, and you need to get one in your collection, especially if you're a nerd, man. Let's move on to Investigation Sex. And no, it's not like it sounds. I have to keep repeating this. Investigation Sex stands for Secretarial. Basically, this is the project where we're sending out secretarial suspected autographs to PSA to get certified to kind of add evidence to the pile so people can make their decisions on more founded ground. We set up a poll last week to see who you wanted us to send to PSA to get tested, and Stacy has the results.
So, Zane, what you going to do when Hulkamania runs wild on you? And that would be the answer to who won. Hulk Hogan won over Donald Trump, 64% to 36%. So in the next week or so, we will get the something of Hogan was actually my pick, so it's going to be something I have here, Hogan related. I'm still kind of debating. If you guys want to give me some feedback on Facebook, I have a signed baseball and a signed Sports Illustrated from when he was on the cover of SI. I believe he's the only wrestler ever to be on the cover of SI. So if you guys want to give some feedback on which item you guys want me to send in, just do that on our Facebook wall.
And here's my feedback on that. I think it should definitely be the Sports Illustrated, because wrestlers aren't used to signing round items like baseballs, and that's going to mess with the signature. So the best way to get it certified, the best chance of, you know, it coming back authentic or whatever it is, would be a flat signed item. That's just my opinion. But so we'll be doing that, guys. You can look forward to finding that out possibly in like 3 weeks, maybe a month. Whenever that comes back in, we'll talk about it on the show. And, of course, next month we'll have another Investigation Sex, and we'll have two new candidates, and you guys can pick the winner for that, and we'll send that one off. So this will be a monthly deal. So I think this is really going to help out the hobby and people debating whether to write off to certain people and put some stuff to rest. Okay, let's move on to the news. Stacey, what you got that's newsworthy in the autograph world?
All righty, a couple of things here. The first one, a news story. Some good news. We actually have another forger in the hobby that got busted. This is an antiques dealer. Appeared in court in Allen Form Halls. 65 years old, faces 13 charges of fraud and 3 charges of possessing articles in connection with fraud. And this stuff all relates to the sale and possession of books and other memorabilia purportedly signed by such eminent figures as Winston Churchill, J.R.R. Tolkien, Robert Louis Stevenson, and Pablo Picasso. So it's always good news when we get these guys busted and get these guys out of the hobby and ruining it for the rest of us. And a couple other things just to pass along, if you guys haven't heard or didn't know, had a couple of deaths this last week. Both these people were pretty good to their fans. One was Davy Jones from the Monkees, actually died yesterday or Wednesday morning. And Jan Berenstein, I believe, was that Monday?
Yeah, it was somewhere.
I think it was Sunday or Monday that happened. So just mentioning these, if you guys have autograph successes from these two, if you guys want to post them and share those on our Facebook wall as well. And that's my news for this week. What about you, Zane?
I got an interesting story about a guy you may know named Kevin Durant. Signed a contract with Panini to exclusively sign autographs for their card sets about a year ago. But a company called Leaf, which also you guys may know, picked up about 750 signed slabs, or probably they're probably stickers, from Upper Deck. They were left over from the Upper Deck contract that Durant used to have, and so Leaf owns these now, and they're trying to get rid of them. So the problem comes into play when they offered Panini the autographs first, and Panini turned them down, saying, "We got an exclusive contract. I mean, we don't need to buy Kevin Durant autographs. We'll just have them sign autographs," which makes sense. But if those 750 autographs don't go to Panini, then they could go to another company like Topps or something like that, which does not have the exclusive contract. So I believe that Panini's actually taking this to court, saying that they have the exclusive contract and it would hurt their company if these autographs are sold elsewhere. I'm not sure on the court part. It's a little bit unclear on who's suing who, but you can check out the article. We're putting it on autographweekly.com. On our homepage. It's pretty interesting what's going on. And, you know, contracts and stuff are very important in the card community and in the autograph community. And you can kind of pick whose side you're on. Are you with Leaf? Should they have the right to sell the autographs to whoever they want, even card companies? Or does the contract with Panini and Durant hold up where, I mean, they're the only ones that can... I guess, I mean, I don't know I don't even know if that's the suit. It's very unclear on who's suing who. It's worded very weird. But you guys can check out the article. Like I said, it'll be on autographweekly.com. And guys, the keyword is Panini. The keyword is Panini. All right, guys, we got a special interview for you today. We have Tom Merritt. Tom is a tech journalist and a broadcaster who hosts a daily show on twit.tv. He was an executive editor for CNET and the co-host of Buzz Out Loud. I know, I can read Wikipedia. I'm very talented. Tom, say hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's good to have you on. Big fan of Tech News Today. We're going to start out with some smaller questions about you, and then we're going to get into the autograph stuff, which, of course, is the reason people listen to this show. So, first off, where are you hiding the fountain of youth, son? I swear, you're 41, but you look 26, and I'm not trying to be, flattering. I'm serious. You look 26. Where is it?
Well, mostly I owe it to the beard these days. It hides lots of imperfections. But, yeah, I don't know. It's not clean living. I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah,
I appreciate you saying that. I don't mean to say that I think I'm amazing looking or anything, but I people do seem to be surprised when I tell them how old I am.
Well, me and Stacey were talking about you, and Stacey's like, "Yeah, he's 41," and I'm like, "Bull crap, man! That dude is not 41." So I guess you're not going to tell us where you hide it. It's okay. I understand. You want to keep your secrets.
I'm actually an alien.
Government's going to come after you now. All right, next question. You have a consistent great attitude on air. Did you turn your hobby and passion into what you do for a living, or did, you know, radio broadcasting just kind of fall into place for you? Like, were you trying to achieve what you really enjoyed in life?
Yeah, that's what I'm really lucky about, is that not only am I doing things that I enjoy doing every day, but I am using things that I've trained for as well. So I went to school for broadcast journalism at the University of Illinois, and my first job ever when I was 16 years old was at a local radio station in Greenville, Illinois. And I've always loved computers. I've always loved messing around with tech. So, you know, the way I've sort of wormed myself into this career of being able to do podcasting and talking about technology, it's fun. It's a blast. I wouldn't work nearly as hard as we all do on Tech News Today if I didn't love it.
Right. And I think it's a huge, important philosophy that a lot of people miss in life. You only have one go around, and if you don't try to make a living of something you enjoy, you're basically torturing yourself. That's my opinion. And by the way, I heard you did some country radio. Are you like a Johnny Cash guy, or are you a more pop kind of a Garth Brooks kind of guy?
Yeah, no, that first radio station I worked at was country during the day and heavy metal at night. So I did both types of shifts. And I'm definitely more the Johnny Cash, George Jones, Hank Williams side of country when I was doing country radio. Wasn't so much into the newer stuff. Of course, then the newer stuff was Randy Travis. I mean, that's how long ago it was. So that stuff's old now as well. But yeah, I like the old stuff. I like the old style.
Now, how did the whole Geek Week selection come about? Did Len contact you? Or?
Yeah, Len and I met, I think, at one of the podcast expos several years back. And you know, he's with Jawbone Radio. He's one of the early podcasters. And with Buzz Out Loud and East Meets West, I was doing early podcasts. And so we definitely hit it off talking about podcasting and things. We kept in touch. And then when he started the Geek a Week project, he actually contacted me really early on just wanting to know if I had any good ideas for people he should profile, wanting to get in touch with a few people. So I got him in touch with a couple of folks. And then, you know, he was nice enough to include me. I think he was desperate, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel to fill week 13 because nobody gets an unlucky week. So he was nice enough to include me in that, which was great.
Yeah, we actually had him on the show and he talked about how he went to Wootstock and he found a lot of people through Wootstock. That was like his breeding ground, if you will, for.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like the killing fields for Geek a Week, right? You just definitely. Everywhere you look.
Yeah. All right. Which guest that you've interviewed gave you the biggest geekgasm or struck up the most nerves?
That's a really good question.
And I know you talked to Steve Martin a couple of days ago.
Steve Martin was fantastic. I felt better talking to Steve Martin, though. He's a huge star, and I'm a big fan. But I didn't have to brush up, right? Somebody like Steve Wozniak, it's like, oh, this guy knows stuff, you know? Like, Steve Martin doesn't know stuff, but he knows different things than I'm supposed to know. Whereas Wozniak's in my business, right? And so it's like, okay, I can't sound stupid in front of Wozniak. Definitely one of those triangulation guests, especially like the older tech guys are the ones that are the most nerve-wracking because they're geniuses.
They put they put the tech on this planet. If it wasn't for them, it wouldn't be here. So,
and so, you know, I'm just trying to think, don't ask anything idiotic. Don't say anything stupid. You're definitely not going to match wits with these guys, but try to keep the conversation interesting. The lucky thing about triangulation is I do the show with Leo Laporte, so he's always got a great question at the ready. I don't have to bear the whole burden alone. Although I actually was pretty nervous about interviewing Robert Kirkman, the author of the Walking Dead series on Framerate recently. That was kind of nerve-wracking as well because I'm a huge fan of the series, of the comic book. We talk about his show all the time on Framerate and sometimes bash it. So that was kind of, you know, That put me in a weird position, but he was fantastic. He was a real down to earth guy. We had fun talking to him.
And you know, I think some celebrities actually enjoy people being truthful with their work. So they're kind of relieved that people openly speak about their work. When people just suck up 24/7, I think that kind of gets old.
So yeah, I think their smile starts to get pasted on when you just lavish them with compliments.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that they want you to be a troll, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. Well, the last question that does not have to do with autographs. I'm a lifelong Cubby fan, and I was wondering how your Cardinals are going to fare.
This interview's over.
I was wondering how your Cardinals are going to do without Jesus. I mean Pujols at the helm.
You know, some of my best friends are Cubs fans. I understand. There's nothing you're born that way. There's nothing you can do about it. Cardinals are going to have a good year. It definitely freed up a lot of financial flexibility to get rid of him. That's what everybody's telling themselves, right? Yeah. He's so definitely going to be missed. But you know, we've got Beltran and we've got Holiday, and it's going to be a solid lineup in there. I'm actually more disappointed to see Tony La Russa leave. Not that I'm not disappointed to see Albert Pujols leave, but with La Russa gone, Mike Matheny's a great guy. I was a big fan when he was a player. He's never managed, and I'm curious how this is all going to work out.
I disagree with you on that. I think La Russa was a total buffoon. I think he got lucky, and the players that he basically got for him.
He got to the playoffs so often, it was not luck. There are definitely teams with better players that did not get to the playoffs. You may be right that he is a buffoon in many ways, but he was a good manager.
Some skill in there, but yeah. And overall, he's made a lot of bad decisions in games. And I just
come on, you got to love a manager that'll bat the pitcher eighth.
Yeah. Let's move on to the autograph questions, and Stacey's got the first one for you.
Alrighty, Tom, when was the first time you was asked for your autograph and you remember the situation?
I'm pretty sure I remember the first time was at the Consumer Electronics Show with CNET the second year we went after I started working there. And it was the first year that we had been doing Buzz Out Loud. We had some of those old-fashioned green Buzz Out Loud t-shirts we were giving out to people. It was our first year in the CNET stage position above the South Hall, where they still are today. And we did the show. There were a dozen people in the audience there. And afterwards, somebody came up and asked for an autograph. And I think Molly and I both, because they asked for both of us, were kind of like, okay, I guess we're going to do this now. Sure. I've been practicing my entire life. Here you go.
Next question, how many autograph requests do you get on a monthly basis? That's through the mail, through emails, if you go to a show, like a consumer electronics show.
Should I count Stacy's or not?
Stacy's, that probably account for half of them, right?
I keep them busy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that many, one or two. A lot of people who come through the studio come up and say hi, shake hands, share a story, but they don't really ask for autographs. Most of the time, if I'm asked for an autograph, it's at a show. It's at a conference.
Right.
Because I think that's just when people are in the mindset more often. And, you know, maybe once a month I'll get something in the mail. Somebody send me an index card or a picture or something like that.
By the way, you guys should totally sell Twit signed baseballs in your store. Just signed by the entire group.
That's a great idea.
I mean,
actually,
you guys can make a ton of money off that. I'm just saying. Okay, nice. Stacey, you got the next one.
All right. Do you have any autographed items? And if so, what do you have?
I have a few. I don't have that many. I have mostly sports figures. I've got a Tim Hudson autographed baseball. I've got a Mark Ellis autographed baseball. I'm trying to think if there's – that may be it. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, there's some stuff that I've bought that was pre-autographed, and I don't really value those.
Right.
Like comics and stuff that it's like you buy it and it came autographed. Oh, I have a Patrick Rothfuss autographed hardback book.
What we find with most people who don't collect autographs is it's more about the experience of meeting somebody and that autograph, you know, kind of representing that experience than the actual autograph itself.
Yeah, so, and all three of those were times where I went, stood in line, went up to the person,
right.
You know, got an autograph. Rather than if you just go on eBay and you buy a book and it's got an autograph in it, I feel like that's cheating. And
yeah.
You know,
yeah, and
you didn't ask.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I said. You didn't ask for it, so to me it doesn't count.
Right, and it's like totally two different mindsets between like collectors and people that just have autographs because they enjoy the experience. And I totally see both sides of the story. I mean, it makes sense. It just depends what kind of person you are. All right, Stacey. Oh, wait. No, that's my turn. My turn. My question. Has the increase in form letters affected your attitude toward fan mail? And I don't know if you get many form letters.
I get none. Yeah.
But you know what those are?
Yeah, I do, actually. Because at Tech TV, we would get some for people like Leo Laporte, Morgan Webb.
Right.
It doesn't affect me at all, and I think that's probably because what I do is on the internet. And with the internet, you get such a direct connection with folks that I think they feel like they don't have to do the form letter thing. It's not an industry. But maybe – I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that because it is extra work.
It's almost like the person you're listening to is almost your friend already and like it'd be weird asking for an autograph from a friend. I think that's probably part of it, too.
Every time I've gotten stuff in the mail from somebody, it's always a handwritten request.
Right. Well, that's a big debate, actually, in the autograph community, whether handwriting requests or typing requests, you know, get a different response from people. And a lot of people are on both sides of it. But, yeah, we just want to, you know, kind of figure out from the people who are signing the autograph side what they think about it. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Stacey?
Yeah.
Shoot him next.
Not having gotten any of the form letters, I don't know how I would react, but I definitely like seeing, whether it's typed and hand signed or handwritten, I like seeing the personal notes. It's fun.
If you ever do get a form letter, here's what you need to do. You need to have a form letter for yourself for a response to that, and to have a printed signature, not an actual signature on that letter. And that will piss that person off so bad. And it's kind of a good response there. All right, Stacey, next question.
All right. What is the weirdest or strangest item you've signed for somebody?
I don't think I've assigned any. I mean, I think I signed somebody's arm once, but that's not that weird. I haven't signed anything particularly odd or fun that I can recall.
We need to change that. We need to find something odd for him to sign. So if he's ever asked that question again, we will be the answer.
I've signed people's iPad. That or laptop, and those are the ones where I'm like, are you sure? I mean, because you're reducing the resale value here, really.
No, whatever. They post it on eBay 5 minutes afterwards and sell it for, you know, $10 more.
See, I don't think that's true, but maybe.
You'd be surprised how many tech nerds are out there. Yeah. I mean, you guys are huge. I mean, you guys are it when it comes to
maybe I should start signing my own iPad and sell it.
There you go, dude. I'm telling you. You can make a lot of money off this. Set it up on your store. All right. Do you mind when people send multiple requests? And Stacey's probably the guiltiest one here.
I'm a bad example. Of this.
But when somebody finds something else they want you to sign and they've already wrote off to you before, or if you're at a conference and somebody comes up with 20 Geek Week cards and says, hey, can you sign all these? And in the back of your head, you're thinking, okay, some of these are going on eBay. Does that, you know...
Again, I've gotten multiple requests from Stacey, but every time they were always reasonable. They were, you know, they were spaced apart, and I've had a few other people with repeat requests, but it's always something different. Like, hey, now it's a picture that I found, or now it's the trading card, right? I've never had somebody come up to me and say, "Can you sign these 20 things?" Because I'd probably just be like, "No, man, I don't have time. I'll sign a couple," you know, but. It's not something I've really had to deal with a lot.
Okay. Stacey?
All right, the next one, I don't know if it applies that much to you, but it's what are your thoughts on your autograph being sold on eBay? I don't know if...
And this could be a theoretical, if it hasn't been, what are your thoughts on that?
If it has been, I've never noticed, but I wouldn't care. It's their thing. I could worry that will increase the possibility of fraud if someone gets my checkbook.
Right.
But I sign a thing for a person, I give it to that person, it's that person's thing.
So if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I'm a huge fan, my name is Janice, can you sign this for me? I've been waiting all day to get your autograph. And then 2 days later you go online and see that autograph there, you're not dismayed by that? Or are you flattered?
No, I at this point I would totally be flattered. But let's say, you know, down the road it starts to become a regular thing, and I start to notice, like, hey, that guy's he's just taking what I sign and making money off it. That's fine. I mean, I always have the right to say no, I won't sign your thing, or I have the right to charge for autographs. A lot of bigger celebrities do that, and you know that's just the way it works. I don't believe in this sort of like. Oh, well, I signed it for you under these premises, and so now I'm going to control what you do with it. I mean, that's the problem with DRM, right? Is somebody saying, I'm going to give you this thing, but I'm going to try to control how you use it. So I feel the same way. It's like, hey, if I agree to sign it for you and you have it, you can do whatever you want with it.
Right, right. By the way, that reminds me, there's a huge controversy right now in the autograph community whether Steve Martin's autographs through the mail, you know, when you send off to him through the mail, are legit. Personally, I don't think they are.
Oh, you think somebody's signing for him?
Yeah, we think somebody's signing for him, but we can't prove it other than sending it off to an authentication company, which those aren't 100% correct. So if you're ever just hanging out with them, you know, not doing anything, just send that question for us. We appreciate it.
I doubt that'll come up, but I'll try to keep it in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, people like that get so many unthinkable numbers of requests. I'm sure my opinions would change about all this stuff if I were in his shoes.
And we're not, like, mad at anybody that does secretarial. Basically, as a pure collector who wants authentic autographs only, I just want to know.
Yeah, you know, right.
That's my feeling on it. So, All right. How do you feel about collectors looking for like personal information to contact you? And I know you're really accessible because, I mean, you're online. You have to be accessible online pretty much. But pretend you weren't and somebody was a big fan of yours. How do you feel about them like maybe doing a background check to find your address to send a request to you and that's it? Not, you know, using your phone number or anything like that. Do you think that's an invasion of privacy? Or again, do you look at that as kind of like a flattering thing?
Yeah, it's hard to pretend I'm not because my first reaction is like, what a waste of money to do a background check. You could have just Twittered me. I would have told you where to send it. My opinions would be different if I were a different person, especially if I was female and I was worried about, you know, large numbers of people or, you know, the larger your fan base, the more likely you're going to have somebody who's a little off balance out there. Yeah. And so you have to be more careful about that. But like you said, I mean, I keep it pretty open. I don't necessarily want people to know my home address. It's not something I'm out there throwing around. But at the same time, I'm perfectly willing to give all kinds of ways to find me and get a hold of me and all of that sort of thing. Because you can go do a background check and you can't, you know, if you really want to, you can't find it. So why not control the situation and say, hey, here's where you can find me. Here's where you can mail things. You know, here's how to email, all that sort of thing.
And I feel like it's kind of necessary for celebrities to have a bubble. I mean, some kind of bubble. Some bubbles I think are too big, but I think you have to have that bubble there to protect you from the crazies.
You're right, but I think it depends on the size of the celebrity. I mean, I started it at Tech TV when it was ZDTV with the idea that we wouldn't answer fan email because people didn't expect it of a big network like us. But it turned out we actually got enough email that we could answer a lot of them. And I learned over the course of the years working there that we weren't so big that we had to worry about the things that had become a convention. So I think some celebrities act like they're bigger celebrities than they are, not because they've got a big head, but because that's just the way it's done. And it's done that way because of people like Tom Cruise, but it doesn't necessarily apply in all cases.
And believe it or not, in this world, if you act like you're a bigger celebrity, you act like you're top shit, if you will, then you kind of become top shit. Like, that's kind of the way our society works. If you play the role, it usually turns out.
Sometimes. There are definitely examples counter to that, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And by the way, watch out for the Stacey Schaefer guy. He's a creepo. Stacey, last question.
All right. The last one is, what projects do you have going on now, and where can fans find you online?
God, it's the hardest question. As you mentioned, you know, my main show is Tech News Today. I do it every day live on the Twit Network, This Week in Tech. You can find it at twit.tv/TNT for Tech News Today. We go live at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. Well, actually, we're about 3 o'clock now. 3 o'clock Pacific, so 6 p.m. Eastern, and available as a podcast and all that. And everything else I do a bunch of other podcasts, a bunch of other projects. I've got some books that I've written that I'm, you know, self-published. All that stuff is at tommerritt.com, 2 R's, 2 T's.
And everybody needs to go check out the twit.tv app on the iPhone. It's very addictive. Thanks, Tom, for being on the show. You're a great guy. And we appreciate you answering all of our questions.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right, guys, we picked up our very first sponsor, and that is StarTiger.com. If you've been collecting autographs for any amount of time, I know you've heard of StarTiger.com. They have the biggest database of autographs on the internet. It's the place to be. If it wasn't for StarTiger, I wouldn't even be collecting autographs. Because in 2001, my dad actually came to me and said, hey, there's a website that has addresses of celebrities. It was actually Star Archive back then, and it was free. But that's what got me started. I've been a member of Star Tiger, or formerly Star Archive, for 10 years. That's how good the product is. Their addresses are top-notch, guys. And here's how good the addresses are. There's so many people signed up to Star Tiger that once an address goes on Star Tiger, it's considered public by the community. There's that many people that subscribe to Star Tiger. It's just the place to be. Great forums. If you have a question, the forums will help you out. You know, with via venues and stuff. They have via venue addresses, successes, pictures of pretty much any celebrity if you want to compare your signature to make sure it's real. They have in-persons. They have secretarials. They discuss secretarials in the forums. There's so many benefits to Star Tiger that if you're an autograph collector, I mean, you pretty much have to be signed up to excel in the hobby. It's necessary. So, guys, I urge you to go check out Star Tiger. I can't say enough good things about it. Go to the link, StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com, to tell them we sent you. Just go to that link, StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com. Stacey, you got anything to add on Star Tiger?
Just to follow up, I mean, I've been a member of this site for not quite as long as Zane, probably 5 or 6 years, I'm going to guess, and it's something I use on a daily basis, and without that, I mean, the hobby wouldn't be the same without StarTiger.com, so I'm actually very happy to have them as a sponsor of the show. It's a very good site to be associated with, so it's a real happy that they're on board with us. And if you guys haven't got a subscription to Star Tiger, go check Star Tiger out.
And by the way, I forgot to mention, you can also track all the stuff that you have out. So if you send something off to an address, you can mark it as pending on Star Tiger. It's a wonderful database tool to actually know your numbers and how you're doing in the TTM collecting field. So yeah, go check it out, guys. StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com. All right, let's move on to the Q&A section. Stacy, hit me with the first question.
All righty. The first questions, this is going to be a related thing that we're going to talk about real quick. We got questions from NZ Sarari, I believe that's how you say the last name, Rachel Moshman, and Russell Lee, asking us about certain people's TTMs, if they're secretarial. Some of the people named were Robert Redford, Jennifer Lawrence, Chevy Chase, and Bradley Cooper. And this is basically why we're doing the whole investigation sex segment that we're doing now, is to get answers to these. I mean, we get asked these questions every week, so that's kind of that's the reasoning behind the new segment we're doing. So
you guys, the evidence is out there for certain secretarials and stuff. But we want to add to that evidence. You can't say 100% if something's secretarial or real. It's impossible without seeing somebody sign it. We say that every week. So if we told you what we thought on it, it would just be opinion. And I don't take opinions as proof or evidence to add to the pile, unless it's certified by a major grading company. That would be the only thing that would add to the evidence, other than the physical evidence of the signature. So opinions, in my opinion, don't count. That's funny. Don't count toward the pile of evidence. So us telling you our opinions on it probably is not going to help. Now, us showing you the actual variations in the signature, that could help. But we don't have the time or the means to do that. We're an audio podcast. So our best way to deal with this is investigation sex. Investigation sex. So we took down the names, and we'll be throwing those in our investigation sex projects later on. So, all right, next question.
Alrighty, this one is coming from Ben Martinez. He is asking, do you guys ever ask for inscriptions to help prove or disapprove secretarials?
It's a good question, and you know, I haven't. I talk about this all the time when it comes to signed books. A really good way, or even signed photos, signed anything, if it's inscribed, a tell is the handwriting. A lot of times, secretaries, they practice the person's signature a million times, but the one thing they don't practice is the handwriting. So you can compare an IP-inscribed photo or book to something you got TTM that's also inscribed. That's a great, great tool. And I've never really used it, because I don't write off to a lot of people that are quote-unquote suspected secretarials. So, but if I do, I'm definitely going to do that, because that's a great tool, and I'd actually be interested if you guys have any inscribed people, done inscribed secretarial or subscribe. If you have any autographs from people who are suspected secretarials, post them on our website, next to, or post a picture next to it of an IP that's inscribed, just to kind of show people evidence, because it's always good to see the evidence. That's a great way to figure it out. Anyways, what's your opinion, Stacey? I'm kind of rambling on.
Yeah, personally, I mean, I don't ask for inscriptions a lot in my TTMs. I do think that's a really great point. I think Ben, who asked this, does this a lot, because I think that was part of the question he added on Facebook, that he always asks for inscriptions in his, so he can figure out if they're legit or not. But and so I think that's a really good idea. It's like, personally, I mean, if it's somebody I know or I talk to a lot, I may have them inscribe stuff on it. Or I used to do baseballs a lot, and I would ask for inscriptions on the baseballs. But as far as my regular TTM writing, I don't ask for a lot of inscriptions. So,
right.
But I do think, like I said, I do think that's a really good idea. So
I agree. Next question.
Next one is coming from Grant Hacker. He is asking, when sending to athletes, do you send to the private address or a team address?
Well, the best way to, again, going back to Star Tiger, check Star Tiger or your major source, fanmail.biz, and see what has been successful. Now, for the bigger stars, if you have any chance at all, it's probably going to be a foundation or a home address. Usually at team addresses, the big stars are stingy because they get a lot of mail. Can you imagine people who aren't in the autograph community? What's automatically the address they're going to write to if they're a fan of that star? They're going to write to the team address. Another chance is spring training or what do you call it in football when you're training? Practice?
Training camp.
Training camp, yeah. Right after training camp. Those are the places where you're most likely to get somebody who's kind of in the middle. Usually the bigger stars don't even sign at spring training or training camp, but somebody is kind of in the middle, kind of a midway star. You may get them at spring training or these places that they train. They train. You know what I'm saying, the preseason. So if you're writing off to somebody who's just kind of a utility player, then you can probably get them at the field address, just writing to it, because they probably don't get a ton of mail. So it just depends who it is. Do your research and see if any addresses have successes first. If they don't, that's how I would do it. You know, rank it by how famous they are, because that's kind of how the easy way to rank your chances. What do you think?
Basically, exactly that. It's all going to depend on who you're writing to, what you're hoping. I mean, if you're, and I mean, I've had decent success writing to team addresses during seasons, but I'm not out there trying to get Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, Tom Brady. You just got to know, you got to kind of got to know who to send to, and that's where the research comes into. I mean, I'm a big San Diego sports fan, so I mean, I've always had good luck sending to the Padres, sending to Petco, and sending to the Chargers and getting stuff back, as long as you're, like I said, it all depends on who you're trying to go after. And I mean, with the Padres, there's not a lot of big names on there, so a lot of those guys are pretty good about signing stuff through the team address. And like Zane said, spring training and training camp is usually your best bet if you ever want to take a shot at somebody as far as a bigger name. I mean, there's a few people like Josh Hamilton is a really good signer with the Rangers, but he signs usually twice a year. It's usually he'll sign some stuff during the All-Star break, and as soon as the season's over, he signs everything. So it's just that you just got to, like Zane said, it's a lot about research and set your goals to a place where it's somebody that you got a chance at getting and not. It's
reasonable.
Yep.
Next question.
We got from Jeremy Daniels. Have you ever wrote back a thank you letter back to someone you've gotten a success from?
You go ahead and start this one out.
As far as a thank you note or card, I mean, I never have. People that I've wrote to multiple times, and some of the people I know and stuff, I'll thank them when I write them again for signing for me previously. But I don't think I've really ever sent an actual, just a thank you card or a thank you note for something I received. I should, but I don't think I ever actually have.
So basically with Stacy, it's thank you for giving me your autograph. Can I have another? if it's anything, it's that. Same with me. I've said a couple times on my YouTube videos, I'm going to send a thank you letter to this person, because Rebecca Black's a good example. She signed a bunch of stuff for me, plus she sent me a t-shirt and a bunch of other stuff. I was going to send a thank you letter because she didn't have to do that. but I just never got around to it, and it kind of just drifted away. And I've actually never sent one, which makes me feel pretty crappy now that we're talking about it. Thanks for the question, Jeremy, for making us feel crappy. But yeah, I've never done it, but I know a lot of people do it, and it's a commendable thing to do. I don't know. I just don't do it. So, next question, I guess.
Alrighty, this one's coming from Jeremy Daniels as well, and this is a two-part question. The first one part's directed to me, and that's, what one autograph in Zane's collection would you want to own the most for yourself? And then he asked Zane the same question about my collection. And I will start, and I don't know how I can just pick one. I mean, I could go Stephen Hawking, Stephen Colbert, John Stewart, Ronald Reagan, and the list goes on and on and on with Zane's stuff. So Zane's got a pretty impressive collection, so it's kind of hard just to pick one that I would want.
For you, I think I'm going to have to go with Star Trek, your Star Trek photos, and that's just because I'm becoming an obsessive Star Trek fan. I'm currently on the second season. I know, I'm a Trekkie. I'm on the second season right now, the original series, and I just love every second of it. It's amazing story writing at its best. I didn't realize how good Roddenberry was. So I'd say probably, like, definitely your Bones. I love your Bones, Stacy.
His hidden man crush on William Shatner.
Yeah, no, definitely. Gosh, William, have I talked about my William Shatner experience on the show?
I don't think so, actually.
Yeah, me and William Shatner had a spat. I created the Anti-Shatner Society, but we'll save that for later. That'll be a good topic to talk about on a different show. But William Shatner hates my guts, and I hate his. Although he's an amazing actor, and I loved him in Boston Legal and Star Trek. let's move on to the next question.
Next one is coming from Kyle Heminger. He's asking what our longest TTM return ever is. And I will start with, I'm going to say probably in the range of 2 to 3 years. There's been a few of those. I mean, a handful. I think we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have.
I can't even recall who they were. But I've had several that have probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 that have been in the anywhere from 2 to 3 year range.
Mine is easily Dale Murphy. Took 5 to 6 years to get back. He's notable for that. It's like he just stockpiles all of his letters into a box and puts the year on them. And then 5 years later, he gets them out and signs them and sends them back out. I mean, I can't think of any other explanation because he's done it to a ton of people. But that's definitely easily my longest. And we've answered that in the show, but that's okay. Some people probably didn't hear the answer. So next question.
This one is coming from Michael Buzzer. He is asking, when sending to a venue, how do you address it and how long ahead of time should you send?
Well, I just did this. If it's a venue like a play, like a Broadway play, usually those last quite a long time. So you can just send it whenever they're doing the play, and you'll probably get a response back. But if it's something that's a one-night thing, I just did this about a week ago, sent off to the Adventures of Pete and Pete. They had a reunion up in New York, and I saw that, and I sent to the building where they were going to do the reunion, and I sent around 6 days before. Now, I probably should have did 8 or 7, because you never know with the mail. The mail can get stuck somewhere, and your package just won't get there. So I'm still a little nervous that my package didn't get there on time, but we'll see. Hopefully I get it back this week or next week, and see if I get it back. But I would say probably, to be safe, 7 or 8 days. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that time frame there. Right around 7 days usually. I mean, I haven't done a lot of via venue, but I've done enough. Usually 7 days. 7 days is pretty safe. And as far as addressing it, it's just basically, I mean, you can find that information on Star Tiger. If it's been posted on Star Tiger, most people will put the venue address on there.
Well, that's if a Broadway. I think he's more talking about a one-night thing, like a performance, like a concert, or if somebody's going to be on The Tonight Show. Because, I mean, technically Broadway musicals are via venue, but they're so stable. They're there for so long that it's more like a temporary, stable address. I don't know. It's not. I don't look at it the same as sending to a one night thing, where it's nobody's got it. Nobody's proven that it's gonna work. It's just a shot in the dark. I think that's more what he's talking about.
Okay, And like I said, as far as the addressing, most places you can, most of these venues are going to have websites and the mailing address usually on the website somewhere. So that's usually if I'm trying to get somebody at a concert or a comedy show, or you should basically usually just go to their to the venue's website and get the address there, and that's how I address them via venue stuff that I do.
Also, Star Tiger has a new feature where they're posting concerts that people are doing on the page. I think it's called My... I don't remember what it's called. But if you go to the person's page who you're wanting to get the autograph of, it will have a list of all the concerts they're doing. That way, all you have to do is, you know, copy the venue, paste it in Google, find the address, and then write about, you know, 6, 7 days, 8 days before the concert. So, makes it easy.
All right, and our last question is coming from Alex Joritz, and this is a three-part question. He is asking, what is our oldest autograph we have in our collection, our first autograph, and our first TTM?
Now, I think we're going to take this as the oldest, as in the one we've owned the longest, not the one that actually was signed the furthest, you know, away from today, like medieval autographs or something like that. I think he means the one we've owned the longest. For me, Dirks Bentley, he sent me a handwritten letter. This is probably from 2003, 2004. I sold all my autographs when I moved out of my house at 18 to pay for rent and stuff. And that's one thing I held on to. So that's probably the one I've actually owned the longest, the oldest, if you will. My very first autograph that I ever owned was probably Ryan Klesko. Got that when I was probably 7. My dad brought it home from work. A guy got his autograph at a game, and he gave it to me. So that was my very first autograph. And then my first TTM, I've talked about this before, my first TTM response was Larry Jansen. I was actually a very good pitcher in junior high, and I was reading a lot of how-to books on pitching. And Larry Jansen wrote one of those, and I wrote off to him talking about the book. So that was my first probably TTM, and that was through Star Tiger, of course. So how about you?
All right, my oldest autograph in my collection, I mean, it's not technically all that old. I'm in the same boat as Zan. I sold the majority of my collection back in 2000.
By the way, and kids, never sell your collection. It's a mistake you'll always regret. Go on.
Yep. And the stuff I did hold on to was stuff that my mom gave me out of, because believe it or not, even my mom did TTNs for a while back in the, it was probably the early to mid 90s, she did some, and she ended up giving me the stuff that she had, and that's the stuff I've kept. And some of the names in that, I had a Chuck Norris, Joe Pesci, James Gardner. So those are probably the stuff that I've had the longest now. And my first autograph and my first TTM go hand in hand. This is part of my school project that I talked about before. It was kind of my basis of my Beckett article I wrote, too. Basically, we had to do a project, I believe it was either, I think, fifth grade, actually, that we had to write to somebody to try to get autographs or something from somebody. And I wrote to former Iowa Hawkeye athletes, and the first ones I got back were from the Kansas City Chiefs, and it was Jonathan Hayes and John Ault. So those would be my first two autographs and my first TTMs.
Cool. Any more questions?
Nope. That's all the questions for this week.
All right. Let's move on to the discussion roundtable. It is time for the roundtable. Of course, Stacy, Jeremy, and David are here. Had a pretty scary moment. We had a tornado rip through my town, as many of you know. And I took cover, and it actually hit my town. So this kind of brings up the question of, if it would have hit my house, what would have happened to everything that I own? And insurance. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today in the discussion roundtable, is insurance. And do you guys have your stuff insured? So that's the first question. Let's hand it off to Stacy first.
Yes, I do now. I have renter's insurance on my stuff. And I kind of went through a similar situation a few years ago, not with a tornado, but with a fire. I lived in an apartment complex that actually burnt down pretty much. It was basically the complex was a 6-apartment complex, and the only apartment that didn't receive any fire damage was mine, but it was a pretty helpless feeling to be getting a call from work, walking down to your apartment and seeing the building up in flames and not being able to do a damn thing about it. So that next day I went out, because I didn't have renter's insurance on my stuff then, so I would have just been out of luck and screwed if that fire would have reached my apartment. So I basically went out the next day and got renter's insurance, and I've had it ever since.
Now, do you film your stuff every year, or are you just kind of relying on the content you upload to the web to supply the insurer with the proof that you own that item? Are you just going to rely on that, or do you film, like, a lot of people when they have insurance on their home, every year they make a video showing their contents and just go around and show everything. So do you just rely on what you post on the web?
Yes, that's all I do, is basically the stuff I have on my website and Facebook, because that's always going to be there. I mean, if I'm recording film or something, I mean, that could be easily destroyed too.
Right. How about you, Jeremy? You got insurance on your stuff?
I do. Living in an apartment complex, it actually is required by my apartment to have renter's insurance. So I think I have up to $25,000, I believe, in renter's insurance. Plus, my insurance was cheaper getting that. So, but yeah, I rely on my videos and Facebook. I do post all my stuff to Facebook and Star Tiger. So.
And renter's insurance is pretty cheap, guys. It's like, under $10 a month, probably, added on to usually car insurance. So if you're in an apartment especially, there's no reason for you not to have it. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure on a home, if you own a home, if it's more, or how that works, but I'll get into that later. Spawn, David, do you have insurance on your stuff?
I did when I lived in the apartment. Because it's, even if you're safe and then you don't think you're ever going to start a fire or anything like that, you never know about the idiot next door. But I just moved in September, so I actually don't right now. So I need to get that updated on my new address. But yeah, I always recommend it, even outside of the autographs, just to protect, all of your belongings, not just your collections.
Right. And a lot of people treat their collections almost as an investment. I mean, it's like a bank account that you can enjoy, saving your money for later, if you will. So to have that go up in flames could be detrimental to, hugely detrimental to your property and what you own and your overall wealth. For me, I again, do not have renter's insurance at all. I'm living in a house right now. I haven't looked into how much it's going to be, but I need to do that fast because, that was one thing when this tornado ripped through. I'm just like, what if that was my house? I mean, all that stuff gone, all my stuff gone, possibly me being passed away. But that was the thing that worried me the most. But, what would I do without everything I own? And it makes you think twice about not spending that extra $10-15 a month for renter's insurance or home insurance. Just really brings it home. All right, next question goes to, let's go with Stacy again first. If you did get hit with a tornado or a fire or flood and it destroyed all your property and autographs, what would be the top, let's say, three autographs that you would buy back automatically?
I'm a big tech person. I think two of them, the first things I would buy again would be a Woz and a Bill Gates, to get a Bill Gates again. Other stuff would just be probably from people that I'm in contact with and talk with, like people at Twit and stuff from Chauncey and stuff like that. Stuff that I could get back right away. Some of that stuff I wouldn't have to spend a lot of money on, but that's some of the most important stuff in my collection. The interaction I have with some of the people, as you guys all listened in our interview we did this week with Tom Merritt. I mean, he was busting my butt about all the stuff that I've gotten from him. So,
how about you, Jeremy? Your top three things you would buy back if everything was destroyed?
Mine's going to be all books here. Going to be the J. Edgar Hoover. the Bear Bryant, Paul Bear Bryant, and my Richard Nixon, just for the fact that all those three are all deceased right now, and it's hard to come by those books, especially for what I got them for. So those would probably be the three top three that I would replace, just because of the history. And
so you're saying if that happened, one of the first things you would do is go out and buy a Tricky Dick?
Yes, I would.
You're a sick bastard.
Dick is good.
David, what would be your top three?
I definitely would get an Emmitt Smith back, my favorite all-time player, and then I'd have to go with two ladies, Gina Carano and either Jessica Alba or Kate Beckinsale. Those are kind of even ones, but I would want those back. But definitely Emmitt Smith would be the first thing I'd buy.
Well, it's a very important topic, and I thought we should discuss it this week. It's kind of hit home for me. And I urge everybody out there listening, if you have a large autograph collection, this isn't talking about the people who have two little binders that do TTMs once a month. These are for the people who have large collections, a lot of money invested. I mean, I know all of us have a ton of money invested in our collections. You need to go get insurance now, and, you know, I'm speaking to myself, too, because I need to go do that now. So it's very important for us collectors to go do that. All right, time to pick the winners for last week's giveaway. We gave away a Moises Alou certified card, and the winner was Xavier Charinard. I want to say that's what it is. Maybe the N's supposed to be a Z, and it's Charizard. I'm sure you've heard that before. But congratulations, you won the Moises Alou certified card. We'll send you a message and get that out to you ASAP. Stacy, what are we giving away this week?
All right, wrestling fans, got something for you guys this week. Giving away a TNA certified auto wrestling card from Samoa Joe. This is out of the TNA autographs. This is the, I believe, the first product TriStar did for TNA. So it is a Samoa Joe. It's a not a numbered one, but it's still a pretty nice autograph of Samoa Joe.
And guys, if you want to win that, by the way, a scan will be up on our website in a couple days, so you can check it out. If you want to win that, just post the keyword that was hidden in today's show on our Facebook wall at facebook.com/autographweekly. Once you post that keyword on the wall, you're automatically entered to win. It's that easy. It's simple. It's a no-brainer. Go do it right now. Let's move on to Collector of the Month. And man, oh man, the entries were awesome, amazing, spectacular. It was really hard to pick a winner, guys. You guys are submitting some great videos for Collector of the Month. Of course, what we explain Collector of the Month for some people who don't know. We pick Collector of the Month every month, the person who has the best collection for the month. So basically, the people that you get in TTM, the people that you got in person, the purchases that you made, anything autograph-related, put it in the video, show us how many you got. Show us off your best autographs you got, and we basically picked a winner based off that, and it was tough because we had a lot of just amazing entries, but we came down to one winner, and that was Michael Rhodes. Just had an amazing month of February, but the thing that put it over the top was easily the Sandy Koufax TTM autograph. I mean, you never see Koufax sign TTM anymore, and the fact that he got that in, just, I mean, that won him the prize right there. So we'll be contacting you, Michael, to figure out which prize you want. Again, we give away for this contest $20 in stamps, $20 in Wing Flash photos, or, I mean, you pick which one you want, $20 in eBay, $20 eBay gift certificate, or what was the other one? Star Tiger subscription, obviously. Yep. So, yeah, congratulations, Michael, for winning. And good luck to everybody next month. So be collecting your autographs up and thinking about what you want to do for your videos to enter. Let's move on to Graph of the Week. And how did the standings turn out last week, Stacy?
Right. This was actually pretty close. It was pretty nip-tuck all week as I was checking it. The winner pulled away a little bit in the last couple days. And the winner is TTM Central with Michelle Bachman. Got 53% of the vote. To Little Mr. Hardcore's Matt and Jeff Hardy at 42%. So congrats to TTM Central for the Bachman success. Like I said, this was a pretty nip-tuck battle all week. So it's kind of interesting to watch how it went back and forth every day on this.
My selection for Graph of the Week this week is it's going to have to be Bill Bradley. $1 is what Blade911100 paid for it. I know he's a confusing username, but $1 for a Bill Bradley Hall of Fame basketball player and U.S. politician ran for president. $1 for a signed book. Oh, that's crazy, man. What's your pick, Stacey?
Sorry, Blade, to do this to you this week, but my pick is going to be, it has to be the Autograph Network and Michael Rhodes for the Sandy Koufax he got in late last week. So,
Sandy Koufax, Schmofax. It's just Sandy Koufax. those are our picks, guys. To vote on Graph of the Week, what you need to do is go to our website, autographweekly.com. The poll is on the very right on the homepage. Or if you have Facebook, you can vote in our Facebook poll. Same poll. I think it's the tab on the left. It says Graph of the Week poll. Click that, and it'll take you right to the poll where you can vote. Get your votes in, who you think should win, the Bill Bradley or the Sandy Koufax. All right, guys. I want you guys to go check out the Savage List, like I've been promoting throughout the show. That's the list of private addresses that I put together. I work my butt off on these. I stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, Stacey, looking for private addresses like every night. And we've added some really cool names lately that have proven successful, including Randy Johnson, Michelle Bachman, Barry Weiss, those off the top of my head. So if you're interested in some private addresses, some really elite stuff, go check it out on autographweekly.com on the tab at the top, hit the Savage List. And actually, Stacey's doing a giveaway that has to do with the Savage List, so go ahead and talk about that.
All right. Yes, I am. It's actually Operation Savage List, the Game On giveaway. Now, we will get this video linked to – we'll get it on the Autograph Weekly webpage and the front page probably somewhere, and also on our Facebook wall. We'll get this video uploaded. But basically, the goal to this contest –
objection is the wrong word.
Yeah, I know. I realized after I said that.
The motive.
But anyway, that's why I went with the goal.
I had to call you out, and I'm sorry. I'm a grammar Nazi. Go ahead.
But, all right, the goal of this contest is to get Zane 50 new subs to the Savage List by March 31st. And basically what's going to happen if we get to 50 new subs, it's going to help. The reason we're doing this, it's going to basically to get these addresses out to people that want them and to help us improve this show, the quality and what we can do with the show. And all this money that we're raising for Zane is going to go back into equipment on his end to help make the stuff we do on the show easier for him and make the quality a lot better. And basically what's going to happen if we reach that 50 mark, the 5 announced prizes that have been announced so far, and they're going to be for 5th place, I'm actually going to pay the person back the $12 they pay for the membership. 4th place is something, or the 4th price package is something that Zane is donating. 2 items, a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar book and a Daniel Radcliffe 5x7 auto, I think it is.
It's a signed book, by the way, not just a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar book. It's signed by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay. The third prize, or the third prize package, is coming from BossHog797. And that is going to be a dual signed Gordie Howe book signed by Gordie Howe and his wife, Colleen, and then a Bobby Bowden signed book. And then second place and first place are both items that I'm throwing in. The second is going to be 2 autographed baseballs by both Frank Thomases. Frank Thomas, the original Frank Thomas, and Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. And the top prize is going to be a Michael Phelps 16x20 signed photo. It has a sticker, comes with a certificate, plus it's stickered with the for authenticity as well. So, and those Phelps, if you look on eBay, those things are going for, I mean, low end is $200, and I mean, I've seen them sell for as much as $500 on eBay. So those are the announced prizes. There's going to be some stuff added here. We have some other great people in the YouTube community sending some stuff to me to add to this contest. So probably in the next week and a half, there'll be a few more places added to this contest. So
basically, and I had nothing to do with this contest until Stacey told me about it, what he was going to do. So I'm very humbled by it. What we're going to do is well, you can pick whatever prize you want. So if you get first place, if you want like something that's at third place, you can ask for that. That's not going to be, you know, directly. If you win third place, you don't just win third place. You can have a decision of whatever's left. Also, guys, the positives for this is just outstanding. For signing up for the Savage List, okay, for $12 for 6 months, you get all the addresses, which are easily worth the $12 anyways, with the names we've told you. And there's a lot more untested addresses on there that could be gold mines. Also, you get a chance to win one of these amazing prizes. I mean, we're literally giving away hundreds of dollars worth of autographs to get this, you know, boosted and motivated and started. So that's one. And you get to help out the show. And, you know, the thing is, the main reason we're doing this, my equipment is total Shiite. It's breaking down. If you watch my YouTube videos, you know that some days I just don't do YouTube videos on the computer because my computer won't work right. It can't handle video, so I have to get a new computer to edit. So I have to shoot on the handheld cam. Podcasts are horrendous editing. It's a nightmare. We just need to upgrade the equipment now. So that's why we're doing this. So help us out. Help you out. It's overall. And there's so many prizes given away also by other YouTubers, not just us. I know Blade911 has given away some stuff too. So go ahead. You're going to add something.
And a couple other things I didn't mention, a couple of perks we're going to start doing with the membership as well. Every member that does sign up is going to get a 4x6 photo signed by Zane and I. So, I mean, everybody needs one of those in their collection.
Absolutely.
Worth a and then I'm going to start doing a weekly giveaway for people who get successes from the Savage List. And all that has to be done is posting a photo or video on our Facebook wall. Then every week I will start to do a giveaway. And actually, that's gotten some really good response. We've already had probably 4 or 5 people already put successes up on Facebook from the Savage List. So
guys, yeah, if you're subscribed to the Savage List and you do get a success from it, please post who you got on Facebook. And like I said, enter for the giveaway. Stacy's doing so. Just an amazing deal. It's really a no-brainer, in my opinion. And I thank Stacy so much for doing it. It's helped me out a lot. Okay, guys. Also, check out autographweekly.com. Everything's updated there. It's all in a nice formatted manner, so you can just scroll through and see what's going on. A lot of news articles and stuff about autographs. Of course, the Savage List, the Geek of Week Project. All that stuff's there. Also, check out StacyShafer.com, where he posts all of his successes and his photos and stuff. You can see what kind of projects he's working on. Really cool site. Also, check out, of course, Star Tiger, our new sponsor. Go to StarTiger.AutographWeekly.com to sign up. And don't forget, you listening to me right now, go to iTunes and rate and comment. I demand you right now to do it. All right, guys, I'm Zane Savage.
I'm Stacia Schaefer. As always, stay classy.
And you take care, all of you autograph addicts.
Thank you for listening to Autograph Weekly. Visit autographweekly.com for news, tips, and contact information.